This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, today I want to focus my message on a powerful key to the kingdom of God. And I'm titling my message, The Seed Principle. The whole kingdom works on a seed principle. And if we get this understanding that everything that we do is connected to sowing seed. Amen. Can I get a revelation there? Amen. And so here, let's look at Mark 4:26 and 28, starting the sermon up. It says here, and this is Jesus. He says, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. So this is interesting because I don't know if anybody likes to plant out here. Anybody have any gardens this summer? Glory to God. And it's amazing creation. You plant a seed and the plant grows and then starts growing tomatoes or whatever you plant. And that's amazing. And we don't know how it all works, but God puts power in the seed. It says, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then after that the full grain, then the full head, which means there's a process. When you sow a seed, there is a process of cultivating that seed, protecting it, and watering it, and to make it grow. Amen? And so you are right now, you are in a process. When you come to church, seed is being sown in the soil of your hearts. And you may not get it the first Sunday. You might not get it the second Sunday, but you're getting it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting it. Amen. And so you are in a process of growth. Amen. That's the reason why you're close to looking like Jesus, but you're not exactly there yet. I would say that you are close to looking like Jesus, but you're not exactly there. We're close. We're growing into Christ-likeness. Amen. Do you believe that today? And I'm telling you, every time I see you guys, you're looking more prettier and more handsome every time. Amen? Well, because God makes you look good. I'm telling you that. And so everything in the kingdom of God, amen, God does make you look good. Amen? Everything in the king, there's no ugly people in heaven. Amen. Amen. Everybody is beautified by the glory of God in heaven. Amen. Everything in the kingdom of God works on the seed principle. So you can say everything in life works on seed principle. Amen. That's the first key. Number two, that means that the harvest that you have today was the seed that you sowed yesterday. And point number two, everything comes from a seed. All mankind comes from a seed sown. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. Amen. So if you're saved today, you've been saved by the seed of the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the Word of God is incorruptible seed. Think about that. You cannot corrupt the Word of God. And when you receive that implanted Word that's able to save your souls, that Word of God will deliver you. Save means to deliver and set free. That Word will set you free from any bondage the enemy may try to put on your life. Do you believe that today? Somebody say incorruptible seed.
Incorruptible seed.
And that's abiding on the inside of you. Cannot be corrupted, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, our bodies, glory to God, our bodies are considered seed. In 1 Corinthians 15:42-44, it says, also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, and it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. Think about that. That's powerful. That's powerful. Incorruption, glory, power, amen. It's sown as a natural body, it's raised as a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and then there is a spiritual body. So, getting old is not easy. And nobody wants to get old. Amen. And so your bodies are corruptible. And your bodies aren't, you're not doing things as good as you used to. The older I get, the better I was. Amen. Glory to God. And so what I'm saying to you today is that your body is corruptible, but God's going to cause our bodies to be incorruptible in Jesus. Jesus even talked about him being a seed. In John 12, 23 and 24, it says, Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into glory. And I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels and plentiful harvests of new lives." So Jesus had to be sown so that we could be reaped. Glory to God. So Jesus saw himself as a seed that was planted so that we that their harvest could come in, and we're the harvest. In Galatians 3, it talks about that we are the seed of Abraham. Think about that. Galatians 3:29 says, "If you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So every blessing, I'm going to say this morning, every blessing that Abraham walks in, you can walk in that same blessing. Why? Because you're the seed of Abraham. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. Abraham was wealthy, healthy, and had a great relationship with God. God wants us wealthy and healthy in him because we're the seed of Abraham and we have the promise of the blessing. Amen. Do you believe that today? Yes. Glory to God. Somebody say, "I'm the seed of Abraham." Amen. Powerful. In Genesis 8:22, and this might upset some of the people that believe that the planet's going to burn up really quick or freeze out or burn up. It's the people that believe in global warming or climate change. Amen. But this will change your mind on that. It says, "While the earth remains," Genesis 8:22, "seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." Amen. There you go. There you go. That's the scripture right there that will mess up global warming and climate change. In other words, God's going to keep it going. God's going to keep this planet going as long as he wants to keep it going, glory to God. And we as people aren't going to be able to mess it up because God is intervening. Do you believe that today? So this verse is talking about natural seed. But seed is likened to the Word of God. The Word of God is spiritual seed that will produce a harvest in each one of our lives. And think about an acorn. Think about it, how small an acorn. Anybody know what? But an oak tree comes out of an acorn. And I believe that God is raising up oak trees in Exceed Life Church. You may start off as an acorn, but you're becoming an oak in the Lord. Do you believe that today? Seeds can be thoughts, words, and actions. That's a powerful statement right there. Seeds can be thoughts, words, and actions. Let's look at the scripture that reveals a little bit about that. It says here, this is in Galatians 6, it says, "Do not be deceived." Amen. God doesn't want us being deceived. Amen. God is not mocked. Amen. "For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For if he sows to the flesh, he will reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he will reap everlasting life." Amen. Somebody say, "Sow to the Spirit." So we want to be sowing. Notice that that's a word for sowing seed. We're sowing. Our actions, our words, our thoughts are being sowed every day. So we got to mind what we're sowing every day. So this saying, so seed can be bad seed or good seed. And I don't know about you, but I want to plant good seed. Amen. You know, Jonah preached a pending judgment of God against a wicked nation, Nineveh. We know a little bit about that story. And Nineveh sowed bad seed for many years. And in Jonah 3, 5, and 10, Jonah preached to the Ninevites and told them that God was going to wipe them out unless they repented. Think about that. And it says here, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed the fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Wow. This is the king. You know, he got serious about repenting. He really believed that he believed the prophet. Of course, the prophet came out of the belly of a fish, had seaweed, and probably was half green and looked a little scary. So he said, man, if God did that to the prophet, what will he do to us? Are you thinking about that? When he saw that prophet probably didn't look good. He probably looked a little disheveled coming out of that belly of that fish. Amen. So think about that. And he said he caused to be proclaimed, published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor flocks taste anything, nor let them eat or drink water, but let the man beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, everyone turn from his evil way and from violence that's in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works. Notice that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So what happened? Well, you know, if you want to pull up bad seed, that means that you may have done some bad things, then all you need to do is repent. Amen. Repenting will cause you to pull up bad seed in your life. Amen. Repenting is turning from doing evil and turning to doing good. Amen. Amen. Repentance can lengthen also your life. There was a king, Hezekiah, that had pending judgment on his life. And let's look at this story. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with loyal heart, have I done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I have added 15 more years. Glory to God. Think about this. God already had judgment on Hezekiah. The prophet said, get your house in order. The question today is, can you change God's mind? Can you change pending judgment, not only on your life, but maybe on your children, on your relatives? Can you change pending judgment? I believe you can. I believe that God can see your tears. He can see your heart when you're crying out for your family, for mercy for your family. And God will hear it and give them many more years of time. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? I believe that today, glory to God. God will see our tears and hear our cries, and he will turn and he will cause the blessing of mercy to come on your lives. I'm going to say this, keep doing good. Even though bad might be happening in your life, keep doing good. In Galatians 6, 9 and 10, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap. Notice that reap, that's connected to sowing. We shall reap, and we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Keep doing good. Amen. Keep sowing good seed, and good harvest will come in your life. How much faith does it take to get rid of a problem, you might ask? Well, in Luke 17, 16, it says this, and the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you may say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be there planted by the sea, and it should obey you. So how much seed does it take to get rid of a problem? A mustard seed of faith, glory to God. It takes a mustard seed of faith to get rid of problems in your life, glory to God. I love that. So my first point is, our thoughts are seeds. Our thoughts, what we think on, are seeds, and we want to think on good things and not evil things. We want to meditate on godly thoughts and not ungodly thoughts. In Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Worldly thoughts will produce worldly speech that will produce a worldly lifestyle. Godly thoughts, God's word meditated on, will produce godly speech, will produce a heavenly lifestyle. Somebody say heavenly lifestyle. Amen. In Psalms 1 and 1, 3, it talks about the blessing. And he says, bless the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So we need to make sure that we're not planting bad seed into our harvest. And the first key is we don't want to be walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. The world says, if it feels good, do it. Have you ever heard that before? If it feels good, just do it. But don't follow worldly advice, because if it feels good, it could kill you. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's right. Just because your feelings say it's good, it doesn't mean it's right. In Proverbs 14, 12, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. So I'm going to say this to you today, as Christians, as people of God, we cannot be led by our feelings. Our feelings will tell us a lot of things to do, but we need to be governed by faith and not feelings. Yes. Governed by the Word of God, because doing what feels good can hurt us. Then it says also here, nor stand, and I added, submissive or inactive in the path where sinners walk. In other words, we're supposed to be different than the world and stand out as salt and light. So we're not supposed to be hanging out with the world doing what they do. Amen. We're supposed to be salt and light. In Matthew 5:13, it says here, Jesus is speaking, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And then it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's a powerful statement right there. Then Jesus said that you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and gives the light to all who are new or in the house. So what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, don't let our salt that we have become tasteless with sinners that's around us. In other words, the salt is supposed to be tasteful, glory to God. In other words, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Then he says here, let your light shine. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. So when you're letting your light shine, you're sowing good seed. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And then he says, sit in the seat of the scornful, or sit down to relax and rest where the scornful or the mockers gather. In other words, if there's people talking about Christians or talking about that mocking God, you don't want to be there. You know, you could be at your workplace and they could be doing that, walk away. Don't be hanging out with people that are criticizing and minimizing Christians or God or mocking God. Amen? Amen. And the Proverbs 3:34 says, surely, talking about the Lord scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Glory to God. This is how to sow good seed. To sow good seed, in verse 2, it says, delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and in the law meditate day and night. Let me just back up here. If you're going to sow good seed, instead of walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you need to walk in the counsel of the godly. I'm going somewhere today. In other words, you just need to be in the presence of the godly. You need to be in church receiving the word of God. You're getting counsel today of the word of God, and it's coming into your life. If you're gonna sow good seed, you need to stand in the path not of the sinners but of the saints. Amen. Glory to God. So you need to be where the saints are. Glory to God. You need to stand in the path of the saints. Glory to God, and be active with the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're gonna sow good seed, then you need to sit in the seat of the saints that are praising God, not scorning God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just reversing what it says here in Psalms 1. In other words, I'm doing a contrast here on how you can sow good seed. Then he goes in here, delighting in the law of the Lord, and the law meditate on day and night. So if we're going to sow good seed, we need to delight in God's word. In Psalms 19, 7 through 9, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This is what you will get when you delight in the word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Think about that. The fear of the Lord is clean. It cleanses us when we have a reverential fear of God. Hallelujah. And the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Think about that. So good seed is delighting in the word of God. And these are blessings. Hallelujah. If we sow good seed by meditating on God's word, I like what it says in Psalms 119, 97 through 100. How I love your law is my meditation all the day. Do you think about God's word? Do you meditate on God's word on a daily basis? Do you think about how good God is? Are you quoting his word back to him? Hallelujah. He says here, oh, how I love you, Lord. It's my meditation. I think about you all day long. Amen. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. That's powerful. That's powerful. These are powerful blessings when we allow our thoughts to be focused on the Word of God and meditating on who God is and how great He is. Our thoughts are seeds, and how we think about ourselves also can change negative accusations of the devil that comes against us. You know, the devil's always speaking against us. You always have thoughts coming against you saying that you're not enough, that you don't have enough, that you can't do anything. But in God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got to believe that today. You are not who you are in yourself. You are who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You are not who you are in yourself. You are who you are in Christ. Amen. Amen. It says here in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You once were not a people, but you are now the people of God. You have not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Somebody say, I have mercy. Glory to God. So you need to start proclaiming to yourself what God says about you. You need to start saying that you are a chosen generation, that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a holy nation, glory to God, that you are a special people. The devil will try to make you think you're not special, amen, but you're special in God, hallelujah. And he's called you out of darkness. He's called you into his marvelous light so that you can proclaim the goodness of God, so that you can walk in the mercies of God every day of your lives. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our words are seeds. Our thoughts are seeds. Our words are seeds. In Proverbs 18, 20, 21, it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips, the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat its fruit. Notice that he talks about fruit. That means you can harvest good fruit or bad fruit in your life. And I want to be harvesting good fruit in my life. How do you do that? You control your words that come out of your mouth. You control what the enemy's trying to get you to say out of your mouth. You're going to make it. Amen. The devil may say to you, you're not going to make it. You're at the end of your rope. Amen? Then tie a knot and hang on. Amen. If you're on the end of your rope. And hang on until Jesus gets there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 1 Peter 3:10 and 11 says, for he who would love life and see good days. How many people want to see good days out here? Amen. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Amen. He's telling us if we want to see heavenly days, turn away from evil and turn and do good. That means evil speaking. That means speaking anything contrary to what God's word says about you or your circumstances. In other words, start standing with what God says. God says you are more than a conqueror. Start confessing you're more than a conqueror. That God always gives you the victory in Christ Jesus, no matter what it looks like. Amen. And he says here, turn away from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Amen. Controlling our words will also keep the destroyer from destroying our lives. In the Israelites, they had some problems. The first generation that was trying to make it to the promised land, they had problems. And their problem, one of their main problems were they were complainers. They would always complain. And 1 Corinthians 10:10, the Apostle Paul writes of some warnings for us. And he says, do not complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Amen? So we don't want to be complaining. We want to be praising. Amen. We want to be thanking God. Amen? Because I'm going to say this, it always can be worse. Sometimes we think we got it bad until you see somebody that has it worse off than you. Have you ever thought you had it bad and then somebody calls you and you find out they got it worse? And you start thanking God, I got it good. Amen. I don't have it as bad as they have it. Glory to God. And I'm going to say this, you don't have it as bad as some other people have it. We got it a lot. It's good. Amen. It's good. It's much better than you think. Your life is much better than you think. You don't have it that hard. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's the reason why when I was single, I used to watch Divorce Court when I was single. And, you know, that helped me be single a little bit longer. Hallelujah. All those problems in Divorce Court, I was thinking it made me happy about being single. Hallelujah. I'm being serious. But I was still believing for a wife, and God got me a wife. I stopped watching Divorce Court once I got married. Amen. Amen. I didn't want to sow any bad seeds of contention in my relationship. Amen. And don't watch that TV show called Cheaters. Amen. Amen. There's a show that's out there that says Cheaters. Cheaters. And they're spying on their spouses that are cheating. Anybody ever see that thing? Amen. If you're married, don't watch Cheaters. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have watched a couple of those episodes. That's why I'm confessing my faults to you guys. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And our actions, number three, so we got our actions are seeds. How we conduct our lives, our seeds are sown either good or bad. Our conduct and how we live our life is getting an understanding of who we are and whose we are. Amen? So we got to get a revelation of this, of who we are and whose we are as we're operating and conducting our life. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, "And you do not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'm going to say this: you got to get a revelation as kingdom people that you don't belong to yourself. Amen. You got to get a revelation that you belong to God, and you don't have liberty to treat yourself bad. You don't have liberty to do anything you want with your bodies because you are purchased twice over. One, by creation, and two, by the blood of Christ. Amen. And so you got to get a revelation that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That should cause us to walk in holiness. Amen. That should cause us to be separated from the world. That should cause us to be what God's called us to be, a holy people, a called out generation. Glory to God. Our conduct are seeds sown for good or bad. I hit on this scripture earlier, but it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, so shall he reap." So we're going to sow, or we're going to reap good or bad seeds, and I want to reap good seeds. Our conduct and how we live will be judged. Amen. We will be judged in how we live down here. Amen. A lot of people think, "Oh man, I'm going to be okay. The blood of Jesus covers everything." Well, if you're walking in the Lord and you're walking in, you know, if there's areas in your life that you're repenting of, and you're walking in repentance and closeness to God, you're going to be good on judgment day. But if you're walking out there a little bit in the world, a little bit in God, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, I don't know what's going to happen on judgment day. Hallelujah. Yes, you could lose some rewards. Amen. All your rewards could be burned up. You could just barely make it in, like a coat on fire. Amen. The Bible talks about, I don't want to barely make it into the kingdom of God. I want to come in triumphant in the kingdom of God. I don't want to come in on the skin of my teeth. Amen. Just barely making it. Amen. God has more for us. God has more for us. He says here, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Amen. That means your mama is not going to be holding your hand when you're standing in front of Jesus. Amen. That means you can't blame your parents for how you live your life today. You can't blame your spouse. You can't blame anybody. You got to stand on your own two feet and stand for what you've done down here. And it says here, "For each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Amen. Think about that. So this is telling me this should sober some of us up. We should get sober today and to realize that our actions and how we live our life will come on judgment day with Christ standing there, and he will judge us for the good and the bad. We are in a process of judgment every day of our lives. And in the process of judgment, in other words, we're either going to sow good seed, and judgment is the reaping process in either negative or positive. And I want the positive in my life. Amen. Glory to God. So we discovered today that God's God's word is seed that's sown that will produce a harvest, a blessing. We discovered that our words are seeds that will produce a harvest. We discovered our thoughts are seeds that will produce a harvest. We discovered that our actions are seeds that will produce a harvest. And as long as we understand everything that we do is connected to the seed sown, we're going to start sowing better seed so that we can receive a bountiful harvest of good in our lives. I just want to close out with this scripture right here in Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in good season we shall reap. What you shall reap? Something good. And if we do not lose heart. Hallelujah. Keep sowing good. Keep sowing, and you will see the blessings and the grace and the love of God working in your life, bar none. Did you receive it this morning? Glory to God. God is so awesome. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that you're helping us to be good seed sowers. I thank you, Father God, that you are here with us, and perhaps you are here in the audience or maybe watching or listening, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If God's drawing you by His Spirit, if you're sensing His presence right now, it's time to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. If you're ready to do that, just pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally, come on out. Be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ and become all that God's called you to be. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.